Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law.
'Cause I'm the tax man.
Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
What do we have this morning?
Well, Ben, I think it's tis the season for caveat actions. You know, it's in last week we spoke of a caveat action that was actually in the tax court. And you know, our listeners may recall that, that this was a will challenge and they decided to settle outside of court. And then the spouse just made a very, very bad decision in the terms of the settlement.
Lost a lot of money and ends up
having to eat a lot of tax debt, because of the fact that the way that the settlement from the caveat action was structured.
Did not have proper representation there.
And again, keep in mind, I mean, you know, you've got the litigation side of things. You've got the contest of the will for, you know, two purposes. One is usually testamentary capacity. Did the person know who their objects of their bounty are, their heirs? And did they have, did they know what their assets were at the time? Those are the questions about whether or not to be able to make a will. That's, you know, the litigation side that we look at to challenge a will. But then keep in mind, anything that may flow from that, in this particular case, a settlement action, there's tax consequences. And unfortunately for the individual in the tax court case last week, you know, she moved some money around, with an IRA. And it just had negative ramifications that ended up having her, eat, you know, $60,000-$70,000 worth of tax debt that she, per the terms of the agreement, would be forced to pay.
And, didn't have to.
That's right.
If she'd done it correctly.
That's right.
Okay. So what's our case today?
The case today is basically, this is just an interesting one from a caveat perspective. We have, an individual by the name of Sylvia Middleton. It was an elderly mother of three children, and she had her son Colin. Well, basically, in 2009, she went and made a will, and she left everything equally to her three children. And then that was so 2009. Flash forward to 2012, Colin, her son, had kind of taken over her affairs. Was kind of taking care of mother. So they, of course,
not an unusual scenario.
They go to a lawyer. And the lawyer, you know, redoes the estate plan and names basically Colin as the power of attorney, names him executor of the estate, and then sets up a revocable trust in order to pass out Miss Middleton's estate. And that was the concept that that happened. Well, Colin goes back to another lawyer. And says, okay, well, I've got this estate planning done. I want to set up an LLC. And so he sets up an LLC with him as manager, and member, along with his wife, his mother's trust, and his mother. So he sets up this separate entity apart from the estate planning. And then he takes mom back again and says, okay, now we've got this LLC set up. Mom, why don't you deed your land into this LLC? And so she deeds four parcels of land into her LLC and another two parcels of land to her trust. And oh, by the way, gives a 21-acre section of land to Colin directly. So there's all these interactions. So we've got a new estate plan. We've now got an LLC that now has land. And we've got a trust that has land as well from mom.
But has the will changed?
The will basically pours everything to revocable trust. So, of course, what happens? Mom's condition deteriorates. You know, she undergoes some health problems and health care, and eventually she ends up dying in 2015. And then, of course, the rubber meets the road, because then sister, both sisters say, well, okay, well, what's mom's estate look like? And Colin says, oh, don't worry about it. I got it covered. I'll take care of this. You know, meantime, he's moved into the lake house. The large lake house that, you know, of course was owned by the LLC, and just, you know, radio silence basically, Ben, and just says, I got this taken care of. Don't worry. I'll let you know. And of course, what do? They go see a lawyer and they file an action against Colin for fraud. They file it for, unjust enrichment, constructive fraud, conversion, meaning he converted assets. And they go through this process of basically suing Colin, to undo some of these transactions that he did.
Yeah, is this the other two siblings together are doing this?
Other two siblings together. And you know, notice I haven't even got to a caveat action yet.
Right.
There's no will on record. Well, Ben, why is there no will on record currently? Because he had put all of these assets into other entities.
Mm-hmm.
He had put them in the LLC. He had put them in the trust.
So they're all passing outside the will.
They're all passing outside the will. You've got it exactly right. So, of course, this is ongoing litigation. You know, and he files his motion to dismiss. And about the time he files his motion to dismiss, he goes and he puts the will on record, which basically dumps everything over into the revocable trust, anything other assets that wouldn't be currently held.
Right.
And puts that on record. Well, of course, then that forces sisters to do what? File a caveat action. Mm-hmm. So they file a caveat action. And this case basically goes up to the Court of Appeals because the brother argues, well, okay, we should dismiss this lawsuit. Because now there's a caveat action pending, and that will take care of all of our problems.
Hmm.
It's an interesting argument, because I was trying to, you know, in my mind as a lawyer analyzing situations, so I'm like, this is completely wrong. Because what a caveat action does, Ben, is set aside a will. It says whether or not a will is valid on its face, okay? But it would not have any effect as to the other transactions that occurred in this particular matter.
I guess
it doesn't go to, you know, property that was deeded into an LLC,
mm-hmm.
property that was deeded into a revocable trust. None of those actions fall under the purview of a caveat action.
Right.
There's one question and one question alone when we deal with a caveat action. And it's, is this will valid?
Mm-hmm.
You know, was there, you know, did, if, and usually what happens is a will is valid on its face, meaning that it meets the requirements executed on North Carolina law.
Right.
But there's something outside of those four corners of that document that aren't right. And the two areas are usually, as I went over earlier, testamentary capacity and undue influence.
Right.
And so this argument by this son basically saying, well, now that I've put the will on record and now that you have a caveat action, this lawsuit should be dismissed, and we'll just go forward with the caveat, is completely wrong and just does not pass legal muster, because, as I said, there would be no way to right the wrongs, if they were wrongs, of the transfers that had happened later, earlier in mother's life.
Now, with the caveat action, or just even with filing of the will, would the clerk's office then get an inventory of the entire estate that would include the things that pass outside the estate?
So supposedly that, you know, when he filed the paperwork to open the estate, he said that mom's estate had a value of zero. And the reason for that is because
everything
was already put in either into trust or into LLCs, or, you know, my guess is that maybe some accounts were probably changed to be joint throughout a survivorship. So truly, you know, nothing passes under the will. And you might be asking, well, Andrew, why did he go and put this will on record then if nothing passes under it? Well, Ben, the problem is that, think about it. If she's able to overturn the actions of her brother and her mother, creating the LLC, putting the property in the LLC, putting property in trust. If all those actions get undone, what happens?
It falls back to the will.
It falls back to the estate. You're exactly right. And then the estate is going to pass out pursuant to the terms of the will.
Or intestate.
Yeah.
If they decided it's invalid.
So, or, well, it would go back to the 09 will, which was split three ways.
Oh, that's right, the 09.
So, unless they want to, you know, try to set that will aside. But the bottom line is, Ben, is that this shows how messy these situations get.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, here you are, and a lot of people think, you know, oh, we need to contest the will. We need to contest the will. In this particular situation, that's correct. The will probably does need to be contested. But more pertinent are these actions to undo these deeds and undo these entities so that we can get the property back into the estate so that the sisters would actually have a chance to take. And so there's two separate actions here, and it has to be two separate actions. And the Court of Appeals said exactly that, which is what I'm telling you now, which when I read this case, I was like, well, this seems like a no-brainer to me. How are you going to argue that a caveat will solve all your problems? It won't do anything other than say whether the will is valid or not.
Well, if this case just happened last year, I'm sure it's not resolved yet.
It's not resolved. So this was up on a motion to dismiss. So basically the Court of Appeals had to decide whether or not they were going to allow this lawsuit to go forward. And what they decided was is that, yes, we're going to let the lawsuit go forward. We're going to put the caveat action on hold. Because if you think about it, Ben, there's nothing in her estate right now for the most part.
I mean,
you know, very minimal assets. I mean, he said zero. So let's just take it at face value, zero. Then what's the purpose of the caveat at this point? Not really anything, because we have to win, or mm-hmm. the sisters would have to win on getting the deeds and the LLC and the trust set aside, transfers, in order to even make the estate action relevant, you know, for their purposes.
Right.
So
right.
I think that that's, and the reason I wanted to mention this case today is because a lot of times we have clients come in and go, you know, and talk about, I want to contest the will. I want to contest the will. And it's like, no, that may not get you there. Mm-hmm. You may not want to contest the will right now, because as you see in this particular case, until you can get these deeds or these other actions, set aside
right.
by the individual, there's really no point in trying to set aside the will. And the only reason we would try to do that is maybe to, make sure we don't run out of statute of limitations.
Okay. Well, just say that, they continue with the will caveat yeah. case and did not put that on hold. And the will was found to be valid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there was nothing in the estate. Yeah. It had all been taken care of. Does that give, weight to his side if the action, would continue on
that? That's a good question. I would say that, yeah, it would, especially if the case was unclear as to what the revocable trust, how it left the property. Did it leave it three ways? Did it just leave it to the brother?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if the will is valid on its face and it comes back that way, then all those fights, you know, up to try to get those deeds set aside could be moot mm-hmm. because ultimately, if you got the property put into the estate, it's going to go out pursuant to that will in 2012.
Right.
So, you know, I'd say one affects the other. And because they're going to be adjudicated on similar facts and circumstances, because your arguments are going to be undue influence and mm-hmm. testamentary capacity,
yeah, similar.
You know, one is likely to fall the same direction as the other.
Okay, and if you want to find out more about how to handle your estate properly and not fall into these traps, then call on the folks at Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law, 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. And you can reach Andrew at afoster@harvellandcollins.com.